Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's the Full Press NFL Podcast, and it's Tuesday, which means it's time for studs and my favorite, duds. 11 weeks in the books already, Braden. Pretty wild to think that, you know, I mean, we say this every year. Wow, I can't believe it's week whatever. But the reality of it is Thanksgiving is here, and we are really, really starting to shift gears and look at who are serious contenders in this league, and I think we're starting to see some of those teams kind of emerge and separate themselves. Although I do feel that this year more than any is more open across the league. So we'll see if that plays out that way in the playoffs. But so far, 11 weeks in the books, and I think we had a pretty difficult week picking our studs and duds this week. It was tough. There were some standout performances, but I feel like there weren't so many individual standout performances.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this time of year, once the holidays start to roll around, I mean, it just seems like that kind of any given Sunday mentality seems to just maybe pop up a little more. And you mentioned just how wide open it is at the top. It just seems like this is kind of the time of year, especially this season, when we've seen maybe a lot more bad football, that there's just a lot of teams failing to kind of live up to expectations right now. But yeah, really, really interesting week of football, and can't wait to get to it.
Yeah, look, I almost considered putting the Patriots special teams on my studs list, simply for the fact that it saved us from overtime of that game. Because that was, look, I'm a Patriots fan, and I'll watch that team every week, but that was a tough game to watch for two offenses that were struggling. The defenses were great. You know, on another show, we'll certainly talk more about the Patriots defense. But yeah, I was tempted to put them on my studs list solely for that fact, but I did not, because I did have three others to put on. And let's get started. I'll start right off the bat. Number one for me were the Cowboys. I decided to go with the full team. Disappointing loss the week before. They came back and they shellacked the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but neither of us believe that Minnesota was certainly one of the tier one teams. I think we're both kind of, the jury is out on them so far, because, you know, at 8-1, you can't deny that. But they did not show up, and the Cowboys took full advantage of that. And if you're at home and you're paying attention to the rumor surrounding Odell Beckham Jr., they certainly made a case for themselves to sign with the Cowboys. So number one stud for me were the Cowboys, from offense, defense, special teams, everything.
I also had the Cowboys this week, and you mentioned just dominating game. I kind of still wonder if Kirk Cousins is playing on the mat there in the stadium in Minnesota, because 13 quarterback hits, 7 sacks, 2 each from Micah Parsons and Dorrance Armstrong. So they were just all over the place. And once Christian Darrisaw went down for the Vikings, the floodgates just kind of opened there even more. Offensively, Tony Pollard, I mean, he's really turning into a star. And some of my friends were kind of talking about, you know, just upcoming free agency and wherever he goes, whether that's, you know, sticking in Dallas or going elsewhere. I think he's obviously going to get paid handsomely, and he just continues to kind of, you know, light a spark for that Dallas offense. And it's just interesting to see when this team kind of goes from, you know, not being able to put their foot on the gas to really dominating. It's kind of a weird contender, but I think if they're able to kind of continue to make solid coaching decisions, that this could definitely be maybe a more worthy contender than what I personally imagined going into this season.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're going to have to play more consistently. That's the biggest thing with the Cowboys, because, you know, yeah, they looked great this week, but they dropped the ball against Green Bay, and, you know, you go back to week one against the Buccaneers, they, you know, lost 19-3. So this team is certainly not perfect, but they're making the case for that. And look, they got a big game coming up against the Giants, who now are suddenly 7-3, and, you know, both those teams are kind of right on the heels of the Eagles, who almost lost two in a row this week. So, all right, my number two stud of the week is Cordarrelle Patterson, who set the record for kickoff returns in their career with his 9th. And The guy is just a freakish athlete who's just so good at what he does, and what he does is just about everything that you ask him. If you want him to kick, you know, return kicks, he'll return kicks. If you want him to catch the ball, he'll catch the ball. And if you want him to run the ball, he'll run the ball. And this week he returned one of those kicks, aforementioned kickoffs, for a touchdown. And it was an incredible punt for a touchdown. It's just an incredible career for him, and he's having another solid season when he's been healthy. And so far the last couple of weeks he has been. So number two for me, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, definitely made a difference in that game. Kind of got Atlanta back going there, and he's always kind of had that great return ability since his Minnesota days. And just to kind of see him get better as his career has gone on in other aspects is just really impressive to see. My number two stud, I'll go back kind of maybe, I don't know how many people remember it. It seems like a month ago now, but I'll go with the Tennessee Titans from Thursday Night Football. Another strong day for Derrick Henry, maybe not that surprising given the Packers run defense, but I think I was actually more impressed with the passing offense of the Titans on Thursday night. Ryan Tannehill topped 330 yards. His accuracy and his timing were just really tremendous, I think, in that game. And they faked the Packers out quite a bit on some beautiful play action passes. That late dagger to Treylon Burks to kind of, you know, really seal the game was just really beautiful. So if they can do that, and on top of the running game and obviously the physical defense they have up front, it's very tight at the top of the AFC right now. But I think the Titans kind of continue to be the biggest pest that I could see really, you know, derailing some of those other top teams like the Chiefs, the Dolphins, and the Bills. So this team just doesn't die, and maybe they're not even getting as much respect as what they deserve at this point.
Yeah, look, I mean, I certainly can't disagree with you. And Thursday does seem like it was weeks ago at this point. But you know what? I'm actually going to stay. I'll keep it this way. That's a nice little segue because my I'm sorry. We're not. I kind of gave it away a little bit. We're not into dud yet. So I think the Titans with a healthy Ryan Tannehill perhaps present the biggest threat to Kansas City. Just, you know, based on history and how they play against them. I mean, we've seen enough between the two teams to know that, whatever the case, they're very evenly matched, and you may even consider it a quote-unquote bad matchup for Kansas City's offense in particular. So, you know, if Ryan Tannehill plays more like he played on Thursday, then yeah, you're talking about the Titans as a serious contender, because you have the elements of a solid offense, obviously, with Derrick Henry, and then I think they're very well coached. And if you listen to this show or any show that Braden and I have done, I think we all agree that there's not a lot of really good coaches in this league, so when you get coached well, like I think Mike Vrabel does, I think that's certainly an advantage. So, all right, my number three stud of the week is Travis Kelce. Three touchdowns again, obviously the big one at the end, and just really showing whatever the hell he is. I don't even know if you want to call him a tight end, Braden, because what he does is a mix between being a top-flight wide receiver and a tight end. I mean, I really don't know, but whatever he does, teams have not figured out how to slow him down, because he's dangerous in open space, and he gets in open space quite a bit, and that's a testament to how well he plays and sees the game. And I thought really the stud could have gone to him or Patrick Mahomes, but I gave Mahomes the credit last time. This time I think I'm going to give it to Travis Kelce. So yeah, Travis Kelce, number three for me.
Travis Kelce also number three for me, and it's kind of crazy to see that he's on pace for a career best season, just given how really dominant he's been at that position over the last handful of years. And just kind of amazes me how he kind of continues to stay so lethal as he gets older. Just adds so much wiggle and added separation at the top of his routes, and being able to extend that quarterback throwing window. And you kind of mentioned just in space. I mean, seems like after the catch, he's even gotten better in recent years. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, the Chargers kind of keep going man coverage against him on those late game situations, and it burned him late again. So second straight year where basically a walk-off touchdown in L.A. Downs the Chargers and you know, basically kind of locks up the AFC West, so to speak, as we enter Thanksgiving here.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough, certainly with, you know, the fact that the Chargers got swept on top of the game win differential. I mean, they're not mathematically out of it, but for all intents and purposes, they are. So let's maybe start focusing on that wild card and figure out how to fix what's wrong or what ails you, Chargers. So, all right, let's get over to the dud section, and I'll jump back to it, that Thursday night game. Aaron Rodgers, I've spent time defending him quite a bit this season, and I don't think he's the biggest problem the Packers have. I think they have a myriad of issues. But he was not good on Thursday. He missed some pretty wide open throws, and whether it's the thumb or some combination of thumb or the just not being able to get on the same page with some of his wide receivers, it hasn't been a great season, and Thursday was just not a good game for Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know if it's the end for them, or for the Packers this season it certainly is. I don't know if it's the end for him individually, but this is, you know, certainly not the way he wants to go out. But this week it was pretty bad. So number one for me, Aaron Rodgers.
I'll go with the quarterback here as well for my first dud, and Zach Wilson with the Jets. Mm-hmm. Just not a good year, I guess, to be a quarterback named Wilson in this league. But Zach, it's really an interesting, you know, case. Obviously injured, you know, missed the first few games of the season, and been a part of some notable wins for the Jets this season. But overall, it just feels like as a player, he's never really improved. It seems like he's stayed stagnant or has gotten worse in so many areas. And I just think, obviously, physically, you can see how far off he was on his throws, just all over the place throughout the game against the Patriots. But the leadership factors, and I'm kind of someone that I think the press conference stuff can be overblown, but I think just kind of how quickly he shut down that question about, you know, letting down the defense and just kind of his body language with that, it's definitely just not a good thing for him. And it's weird to kind of say the Jets maybe, you know, could be a quarterback away from really being competitive in this league. You know, we saw what Garrett Wilson had to say after that game, and some, you know, Twitter likes that may or may not have been intentional from other Jets players. And now we've seen Robert Saleh not committing to Zach Wilson for the starter this week. So it's definitely, you know, not as unusual anymore to see teams move off young quarterbacks so quickly. And it just seems like with what, you know, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have been able to build there, they could definitely kind of hit their stride if they move on from Wilson. And it just seems like everything that kind of brewed from that game in New England is just going to be almost a nail in the coffin, I think, for Zach Wilson in New York.
You said it beautifully, and it saves me from talking about my number two dud, which was also Zach Wilson. So I'm going to say, if you need to hear more, just go back and listen to the last minute and a half, because Braden said it perfectly. So I guess I'll just ask you, who is your number two dud?
Yeah, I guess I'll go with the Vikings next. You know, we each had the Cowboys earlier. I won't really spend too much time on this. I think it's just maybe it's a loss that definitely, I think, exposed maybe how little of a margin for error a team like the Vikings have, you know, wanting to run the football, kind of use this play action pass game. Obviously, wasn't really able to dive into that much in this game because of the game script, but maybe it's a good thing they got a short week on Thanksgiving, but obviously a tough, tough matchup coming up against New England.
Yeah, look, I had Kirk Cousins as my number three dud, so I'll just kind of piggyback off that. Just a disappointing, you know, against a top contender in the conference. You want to see these teams, you know, going up against a divisional foe. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Like, you know, you're going to have instances where, like, maybe the script doesn't go as planned and all that, but going up against an NFC contender, someone you're likely or maybe going to have to go through at some point in the playoffs, and you kind of drop the ball, and Kirk Cousins wasn't good. I know he got hit quite a bit, and that's not all on him, but yeah, it's just a tough day all around. I mean, I could have very well just put the Vikings team all together on the list, but I decided to focus on the quarterback, and, you know, I'm being a bully right now, I guess. But no, Kirk Cousins, number three dud for me.
I went with Nathaniel Hackett as my number three dud. Obviously gave up the play calling duties, but still kind of managed to struggle with in-game management against the Raiders. It just seemed like a game that was just kind of inevitable. that it was going to happen the way it did with the Raiders coming back. And it just seems like Hackett does not really have any sort of grasp of, you know, most situations, critical situations, I guess, late in games or late in halves. So I did see Ian Rappaport kind of talk about Hackett's job security on the Pat McAfee show from Monday. And he said he'd be kind of really surprised if Hackett was gone in season. But I think he just kind of described this situation as very tenuous, and he thinks Hackett's trying to do things the right way, I guess, with his tactics. But Rappaport, I think he basically said he doesn't know for sure if Hackett will be gone. But I think given this organization and how long they've been, you know, struggling here at the bottom of the AFC, it's not obviously out of the question that he could be a one and done. So just a horrible game for him to lose against a Raiders team that's obviously been kind of in a dark place for a while. So Nathaniel Hackett's my last dud here.
Yeah, and look, I mean, maybe it's the quality defense that's saving him, and, you know, the subpar play from the quarterback isn't helping. So, you know, I if you're Denver, you're probably not going to – there's really no point at this point to fire him now. I mean, unless you want to get a head start on the coaching hiring process, but – I mean, the NFL, I don't know. I feel like the NFL doesn't necessarily work like that. Unless you just had, like, a target, someone that you had, I don't know. To me, I think you kind of play out the rest of the season and then kind of take stock of what you have. I think their biggest issue, and I think you might agree with me, is what are you doing with Russell Wilson? Because
right.
if what you're paying for is what we've seen so far this season, then you have a huge, huge problem for the next handful of years. So, all right, that's going to do it for us here today on the Full Press NFL Podcast. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, as John Sapicetti and I give our top five teams after week 11. So thank you once again, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at Full Press NFL. And of course, head over to fullpresscoverage.com to see all the latest and greatest. Thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.